Blog Talk Radio.
Well,
That
audio did not start. Well, that's just booty.
It might be.
We sold my shit up. Knuckles all fat and shit. It's alright though, it's all good. Whipped his ass so bad his stepmom's gonna feel me for the next 3 birthdays out this month.
Look what his homeboy did to the side of your head.
What you talking about, kid? This? He ain't fading nothing over here though.
One ass whooping, man. There's still one.
How you figure that, man? Look around you, man. They own this shit. They own this couch you sitting on. Them shoes you got on your feet. This building. This school. This country. You. We behind enemy lines, dog. One beat down and never compare to 439 years of captivity. Never. I don't know shit. Freshman.
Party, no better yet disco. Head feeling metal from a bottle of Cisco. Move. To crush your pride, suck an MC like Crisco. Give me the cue. Check 1, 2. Don't try to come off for me. Because you doo doo. You're treating me the Z to the D. Like a stepchild. Let me tell you, homeboy, you live in foul. Let me see. You know who you are. On the bandwagon, why see? Cause you a star. This is the year when the joke is wild, when the fans are happy to try to fight the style. I get hip to the scene before it happens. If it gets wild, then I'll start capping. But for now, since everything's calm, relates to the matter as I drop the bomb. Because I'm house.
This show is brought to you by the fuck that Father Teresa does not give.
We do our best to engage with these topics in a manner that is sensitive and considerate to you, our listeners, and your lived experiences. However, we understand that some of these subjects can pack a punch, so we strongly support whatever you need to do to take care of yourself as an audience member, whether that be pouring yourself a glass of wine before pressing play, listening to our show with a warm, furry animal in your lap, or even turning off today's show and doing whatever brings you peace and joy and intellectual detox before tuning in next week. We welcome all feedback and comments related to our show, including requests for future topics you would like to hear us cover, or suggestions for ways we can improve our handling of emotionally and psychologically heavy material. You are listening to Father Teresa's Wine Cellar.
They on this couch you sitting on.
This show.
Them shoes you got on your feet.
Is brought to you.
This building.
By the fuck.
This school. This country. You.
That Father Teresa does not give.
Father Teresa's Wine Cellar. Father Teresa, the greatest black atheist, Fini Loco, the uppity negress. And this is social justice for adults, socialdissonance.wordpress.com, fatherteresablog.wordpress.com, readinginthesshade.wordpress.com. You keep hearing that .wordpress, .wordpress, .wordpress. Well, thank you to you, the Patreon subscribers, and the folks that that hit the PayPal. Just hit the PayPal. Bang, $10. Bang, $15. That shit, it does what I like to call adding up. It does this whole adding up thing, this sort of addition math thing. And we decided to change the direction of where the funding goes. So temporarily, this will be the last month of 2-hour programs, and we're going to use the funding that goes to 2-hour programs and send that toward making a website. Will it be Wine Cellar News? Will it be winecellarentertainment.net.com.fm? Like .fm might let folks know, hey, this is just some sort of radio thing. Right? Well, we got a certain generation of folks coming up that don't. FM, what the fuck is that? FM. I have Pandora. I have. Hey, like they don't fucking FM. AM. AM. You mean in the morning? What is FM? Is that like. Is that like between the morning and the afternoon? Alright, so, so. There we. Oh, it looks like, one of the individuals, just, saw the link to the program. All right, so we will be doing that with the funding is going toward a website, which means so is it March, April 4th will be the end of the 2-hour programs, and then they'll just be 30 to 45 minute programs, and then that funding will start going toward building some sort of web, some sort of site. All right. And then there is this particular episode of Feeny Loco titled it All the Things My Mother Never Told Me About Sex. And it's kind of like the third edition of Expanded Sex Education on this program, which is something that I think I started in 2013. And then Feeny Loco came on for the second one in 2014. And here we are, 2016, third time around. All right, Expanded Sex Education in the Wine Cellar. Oh, excuse me. Now, there's also, wait, let me, there we go. I usually turn that down as I start riffing. So let's quick, because it is still a news and comment program, so let's do a quick hit on the headlines and then get straight to it, because Feeny Loco tagged some folks in the social networks. Just in case they want to, they want to hop on at 347-857-3937. Say what you need to say about expanded sex education. Now, there's an Alabama lawmaker that wants sex offenders to pay for their own castration, right? And a quote from the. The bill says, this bill would provide that any person over the age of 21 years who is convicted of certain sex offenses against a child of 12 years of age or younger would be surgically castrated before his or her release from the custody of the Department of Corrections, House Bill 365 in Alabama. I'll tell you what, so what in the holy heck, darn? I mean, go for it. That is a step toward what the hell William would do, which is just, I'd say, castrate them from existence. Just castrate the person. And Ted Cruz, with the punchable face, Ted Cruz defends endorsement from a pastor who believes Hitler was a hunter sent by God. Well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you read that one more time?
Ted Cruz defends an endorsement from a pastor who believes Hitler was a hunter sent by God. Okay, I'm just going to keep that link open, and while you're digging into the main topic, I'm going to see if there's audio of that guy saying that for the end of the program when we typically start ripping through some funny, fun audio, because holy fuck damn. Let's see, GOP consultant tells a black reporter she wants to choke him for calling out Republican racism. Well, of course.
That's just everyday on Fox News.
I mean, what else are you going to do? I mean, you are not going to successfully put the boy in his place if you don't let him know that you need to choke the boy. You got to choke the boy.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
So she gonna hurt this boy, this knacker boy.
Some different credibility problem here. I mean, you have Republicans saying Trump is not one of us, and yet a lot of the things that he's saying are said in coded language.
And that's Stephen Henderson. They're on NBC News, and he's talking about coded dog whistle racism.
Language by other Republicans. I wrote a column last week about Paul Ryan, for instance, saying this is not a party that preys on people's prejudices, and yet you can think of lots of examples of Republicans doing exactly that, going back to Ronald Reagan giving a states' rights speech in Neshoba County, Mississippi, in 1980. This goes on all the time in coded ways. Trump is saying something.
It was actually at a fair in Philadelphia, Mississippi, and it was pretty darn close to where those three civil rights activists, you know, where them good old boys took them out the game.
Some of these things more explicitly, and that makes them, I know it makes you uncomfortable too.
No, it doesn't make me uncomfortable. It just makes me want to choke you because it's ridiculous and it's...
Well, yeah, I mean, you gotta... Uh-huh. It doesn't make her uncomfortable. It makes her want to choke him, you see? Because, hey, when people are in perfectly total comfort, you want to choke out a black stranger on television.
Ridiculous, and it's the creation of Trump, because conservatives do not consider themselves bigots or homophobes or misogynists.
No, because you live in echo chambers where you tell yourselves that. Just looking at her face, like she does not know how to talk outside the echo chamber, and you gotta see this lady's face. Okay, here we go.
Okay, what Cruz won at CPAC, and he won overwhelmingly. He is expanding the electorate by bringing in like-minded libertarians, young people. Trump is expanding the electorate by getting people who are sick of being called bigots because they want to secure the border. This is not...
Okay, sick of me.
Not a race, okay? Let's not go there.
It's not a race. What was his first speech? Fuck it. Come on.
I think it is. I mean, I think there's no question that what he's doing is appealing to race, and Republicans have done that for a long time.
By the way, there was something else that Donald...
Yeah, they're only used to talking in their echo chamber. Something else that Feeney Loco put in the headlines here, Jesus Christ. All right, that one time Trump tried to rape a woman in his daughter's bedroom, and...
Yeah.
Donald Trump is no stranger to courtrooms. He's involved in at least 169 federal suits, according to the recent investigation performed by LawNews.com. Many of these complaints are over his shady business dealings. The GOP frontrunner has threatened to add to his litigation rap sheet at least three times throughout the campaign. He targed Ted Cruz over his eligibility to run for president. He threatened to sue over imaginary voter fraud in Iowa when Cruz handed Trump his first loss. More recently, he took aim at the media in general with the First Amendment. Okay, but what's this headline? During the investigation into how Donald's entire career has been one excruciatingly long, sad episode of Ally McBeal. Okay.
Yeah, you got to scroll down a little bit to get to the. This person just wanted to talk a lot. So
yeah.
If you go down to like the next paragraph, it should.
So Donald Trump is a rapist. And that's who's surprised. Oklahoma missionary gets 40 years in prison. What up?
Before you go, I have to also point out that this is another instance of that, because there's already the way he talks about his daughter in a really creepy, incestual way. And one of his ex-wives said that he raped her. So this is actually, like, the third time that there's a discussion about him.
Yeah, so he is a rapist. It's just, it's something that he practices. That's just something that he's he just absolutely has to do. An Oklahoma missionary gets 40 years in prison for sexually, he's a rapist. A child rapist, 40 years in prison. Shoot him in the fucking face. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know he's going to get raped in prison, but then the people that are raping him, well, then they're rapists, and I think they should be shot in the face, too. So it's like, just kill all the rapists and then start teaching the young boys not to rape, starting early up, bingity-boom-bang-blam. let's see here. Man, that's pretty goddamn simple to me. Class action suit filed by residents over Flint water crisis. All right, and the federal lawsuit, which is seeking class action status, alleges that tens of thousands of residents have suffered physical and economic injuries and damages. It argues officials failed to take action over dangerous levels of lead in drinking water and downplayed the severity of the contamination in the financially struggling city. But the thing is, you see, they intentionally make the cities – all right, this is how this shit goes. They put in these emergency manager laws, and then they make it so that the reason why they can put in an emergency manager is because the funding is just so bad. So they get in, put that law in, then the governor intentionally fucks up the funding, and then they're like, ah, shit, you need an emergency manager. And then the emergency manager goes in and fucks it all up. All right? So, and so there is a class action lawsuit coming out of Flint about that. Remember, who I tell you to follow is Leslie Mack of the Ferguson Response Network program. Leslie Mack is the best fucking source for constant, consistent Flint news. Leslie Mack is the boss of this shit. What the hell's going on over here? Well, what's the date stamp on this one? March 7th, son of a brisket. Okay, so tomorrow, as we record this Monday night, March 7th, 2016, tomorrow on Tuesday, the Oklahoma Senate will hear two of the most controversial anti-abortion bills in recent history. One bill would revoke the medical license of any physician who performs an abortion, and the other bill would criminalize abortion as an act of first-degree murder. Outstanding. Now, I mean, if you commit first-degree murder, you're probably not going to be practicing a great deal of medicine any damn way. But okay. But oh, that's probably just a reason to charge the woman lady. And then they can force her to be in prison where she'll get raped, but they'll probably forcibly sterilize her so that she won't get pregnant from the rape, because then there's no evidence of the prison rape, because men are allowed to work in women's prisons. Ah, the world is completely fucked. Everything's going to shit. And this website runs way too hardcore on advertisements.
It does.
Yeah. So, yeah, fuck that. Everything is completely fucked. Everything is fucking fucked.
Yeah. So what they were trying to do was, if a doctor has been convicted of doing an abortion on a patient, then they lose their medical license and they go to prison. If the person who's pregnant has an abortion, then they're charged with first-degree murder, because that's logical and reasonable and exactly how reproductive health should be in 2016 in the quote-unquote best country ever in the land of, you know, freedom and liberty and all that bullshit. Makes sense, right?
In the land of freedom and liberty and all that bullshit.
Yes. You know, it's not as funny when you repeat me as it is when I repeat you. Just saying.
Yeah. It is quite silly. Like, I think that's how a lot of people do think of this. Like, they start to understand. They're like, freedom, liberty, and all that bullshit. All right, so. There is an individual on the line there, so let's go ahead and lead into Feeny Loco's topic for the program, which will take up the bulk of the program. Get involved. Get in the chat space. If you're in the blog chat space, Alex Loco's posted up there, guest 3842, guest 3947. There's the homie Becker Locos posted up in the joint over
words,
there.
William.
Hmm?
Those aren't real words.
You can bet your schmarkenflaggle they are. Now
wow.
The homie Becker Loco is posted up in the joint over there. Maybe knitting, maybe going over some collected fungus. Hard.
Who knows?
Poor. Oh yeah. Now, yeah, Becker Loco has, like, real hobbies. Like, I thought I had hobbies. Like, Becker Loco has, like, real hobbies to where you're like, what? What is that?
Dude,
do you keep a scrapbook?
Nigga, yelling at kids to get off your lawn is not a fucking hobby, yo.
Becker Local's not in the lawn. Becker Local's like out in like in the rainforest, yo.
Yes, and you, meanwhile, are yelling at kids to get off your lawn and drinking cheap whiskey. Like, it's not the same thing at all.
Well, Maker's Mark is affordable, but it's not the Southern Comfort.
What's wrong with Southern Comfort?
Southern Comfort?
Yeah.
Southern Comfort is disgruntled urine.
Nigga got a shit on everything I like. All right, fine, whatever.
No, we're not gonna let you do that anymore. The homie Fallen Loco, I need to reload your website, fallenkitty.com, and see if you got the new book available that I may purchase it. All right, let's see. So, folks, get in there, 347-857-3937. Feeny Loco will have a conversation with you. And there is someone who's been on the line for 5.5 minutes. So let's just get to the gosh darn Schmiegen Flaggle. There we go.
Phoenix, she's black. Kalida, colored woman, reading in the shade.
I heard she ain't right.
Phoenix, Kalida, that there woman's colored, reading in the shade.
She ain't got no.
She ain't got no sense.
I might not. It's possible. It's possible. All right. So, one, I have a cough. Y'all are just going to have to tolerate that shit. Two, we need to have a conversation about sex ed. Yes? Yes. So, I was watching a few people on Facebook, because I'm a chronic Facebook watcher, have a discussion about the amount of young black girls who are dealing with unplanned pregnancy and either trying to figure out how to terminate pregnancies or are trying to figure out how to raise children and become parents. And, of course, it's difficult because, you know, we're talking about young black girls, you know, 15, 16, 17 years old, basically still kids themselves, haven't even finished growing, developing, you know, frontal cortex isn't even finished yet. And I was thinking about it in terms of a larger conversation, and something that occurred to me is we put a lot of blame on these girls for getting pregnant, right? And, of course, we always operate on this binary, right? Like, it's fucking gender binary. It's always girls, right? We assume only girls get pregnant. But we look at these children and say, well, why did you get pregnant? We live in an era of Planned Parenthood. We live in an era of birth control. We live in an era where you can, you know, just avoid the situation before it becomes a problem. And I started really thinking about this, like, you know, we say that we live in the era of Planned Parenthood, but I look at headlines a lot. I look at news a lot. Last I checked, Planned Parenthoods are getting shut down every fucking where. States are denying access to reproductive health and reproductive clinics. And we need to remember that every time a Planned Parenthood gets closed down, it's not just access to abortion. Planned Parenthood also gives birth control. They give counseling. They give STD testing. You know, they give that comprehensive sex ed. There are still high schools in this country that have abstinence-only education and do not teach children about safe sex or how to prevent pregnancy. There are a bunch of places where kids do not have access to education or resources to not only be informed and make informed decisions about sex, but also do not have the ability to have, you know, anti-reproductive tools, right? We're talking about condoms. We're talking about access to hormonal birth control, spermicides, things like that. And then we want to shame these kids and say, you should have known better. But then the question becomes, who the fuck is teaching these kids better? because, you know, I'm in my 30s, and I look at women I know. I look at non-binary people I know. I look at people who were, you know, designated female at birth. And I see them, and I think, like, I'm dealing with a bunch of grown-ass people who are in their late 20s, early 30s, mid-30s, late 30s, early 40s, even in their 50s, who still do not understand their own menstrual cycles. I am surrounded by people who do not understand the purpose of manual clitoral stimulation during sex. I am with people who do not understand what days of the month they're ovulating. I am with people who do not understand symptoms of STDs. And so then we look at these kids, right? I mean, they're fucking kids, 15, 16 years old, saying, well, you should have known better. How the fuck do we expect children to know better when we don't know better? We talk about why don't these kids know this, but we don't know these things ourselves. So, you know, I'm thinking that if we are going to educate people who are younger than us, if we are going to talk about appropriate, comprehensive, intensive sexual education, we need to be educated ourselves. And so I made this post on my Facebook page because I'm always just, you know, posting shit on my Facebook page. It's what I do. I'm a chronic poster. And asked people and said, what was your experience like, your parents in sex ed? Did they give you, like, comprehensive sex ed and go into detail about how to do things? Did they try to shame you and say, don't have sex until you're married because sex is bad and it's for babies? Did they say, you know, something vague like just use a condom but not explain things? You know, what was it like for you coming up? And I'm looking at this thread, and a lot of people did not have access to sexual education, particularly comprehensive sexual education that, you know, goes over a bunch of concepts. We're talking about concepts like consent. We're talking about homosexuality. We're talking about queerness, being bisexual. We're talking about, you know, why you should use lubrication. We're talking about the importance of orgasm. We're talking about things like masturbation, right? You know, a lot of sex ed is based on a gender binary, right? If you have a penis, you're a man. If you have a vagina, you're a woman. And it's like, oh, if you're a man, you're allowed to masturbate. But if you have a vagina, you're not allowed to masturbate. People with vaginas don't do that. And it's like, but why? It feels good. It's enjoyable. It's a normal, healthy thing for people to do. Why are we shaming people for their sexuality? Why are we shaming people for trying to derive sexual pleasure? And it's a little bit disappointing to think that we're already in 2016, but we're still chronically behind the ball when it comes to dealing with sexuality. And we frame it that it's something you do to have babies, or it's something you do out of obligation because you love someone. But we very rarely talk about the concept of sex as something that is done for pleasure. It is done for something that feels good. It is a thing that you do because you enjoy it, you know? And I'm looking at these people who are kind enough to comment in the thread. And, you know, I'm not going to drop names because some people mentioned some relatively personal things, you know? But a lot of people said that their parents shamed them when talking about sex or never talked to them about sex at all. You know, just said things like, don't get pregnant, don't bring no illegitimate babies home, but didn't talk about how to prevent pregnancy, right? So we shame children for getting pregnant while teenagers, but we don't teach them how to prevent pregnancy. That seems a little bit fucking backwards, right? You know, and so I thought that maybe we should have a podcast and talk about the things, you know, like what do you wish your parents would have told you about sex? What do you wish you would have learned in school when it comes to sex? What do you wish you would have known was a normal behavior? And, you know, we have things like asexuality. Do kids know it's okay to be asexual, right? So asexuality is just essentially not having a sexual attraction to a person. You're still capable of the basic functions of sex, but you don't see someone and be like, oh, I want to have sex with that person. Do kids know that that is normal? Do kids know that it's okay to be bi? Do kids know that it's okay to be hetero? it's okay to be gay? Do they know that? Is that something that we actively talk about? We're like, oh, well, you know, gay marriage, everything, you know, it's all okay. But we don't talk about being bisexual or queer or poly, right? How many people even know what poly is? You know, we talk about, oh, you know, boys and masturbation, but we don't talk about the fact that girls and women like to masturbate, right? We don't talk about the importance of consent, right? We have all these ridiculous ass, you know, romantic movies and books, and, you know, where it's like, oh, well, I just knew she was into it and she was into it, and everybody has an orgasm and they're done and they go home and they're happy. But that's not how real life works. Why don't we talk about what the importance of giving consent and making sure your partner is comfortable with what's going on? Why don't we talk about the fact that marital rape is something that exists? You can rape your spouse. They're not obligated to have sex with you because they're married to you or because they've been in a relationship with you. You know, why don't we talk about how to prevent STDs? Why don't we talk about different types of birth control, right? There's a lot of people who don't know that, you know, if you want hormonal birth control, you have a uterus, you can get a shot in your arm. You can use spermicides. You can use IUDs, which are implanted into the uterus. You can use a transvaginal ring, like a NuvaRing. You can take an oral pill. You can just rely on condoms. Why don't people know these things? Like, why are we so ashamed to talk about sex? You know, that is a problem. And I think that we need to address that. I think that we need to stop acting like the weird. I mean, I think we should know at this point that teenagers are going to have sex. I think that we know that adults have sex. And so what we should be doing is educating as opposed to shaming and ignoring it like it's not going to be a problem. You know, millions of people having sex without information or access to reproductive health. And then we're somehow shocked at the amount of unplanned and unwanted pregnancies that occur every year. It's a little bit ridiculous, is it not? I think so. And then we talk about other things too, like let's talk about, you know, trans people, agender people, genderqueer people, right? That's a thing that we need to talk about when we talk about sex ed, the trans community. What is that? Sometimes the assumption of what genitals are based on our concept of a gender binary doesn't match a person's gender or necessarily their gender representation. And how to respect a person's gender identity, even if they don't have the genitals that are assumed to go with them. Because, you know, our society now is very dependent on this binary concept that, you know, men have a penis, women have a vagina, that's it. There's nothing else. There's nowhere else on that spectrum. But gender and sexuality are incredibly fluid as concepts, you know. Sexual desires are incredibly fluid as concepts. You know, there was this article that I was looking at, ironically the same website that where William was reading the story from earlier about the attempt to ban abortion. The federal court in Virginia is trying to stop, you know, has suggested it's okay for the government to stop people from engaging in BDSM, right? So that's a thing. And by the way, is our caller still on the line? I completely forgot about our caller. Are they still on the line? Totally forgot. No, maybe, yes.
Yes. Hello. Yes, you're there.
Okay, I was making sure. I'm just talking, like, yes.
Yeah, like, I'm just listening.
Oh, okay, because I was talking. I was like, I hope I'm not talking over somebody who's waiting for a turn to jump in here. But, so in Virginia, right, they were weighing in on the right for adults to engage in consensual BDSM sex, okay? Which, you know, I know people have the stereotype like, oh, leather, whips, and chains. It's that. It's also a lot more. It's a very large encompassing thing. And it's not inherently abusive. It's not inherently bad. It's just one of the many ways that people express their sexuality. And there was a case where a man had raped a woman, okay, And they talked about BDSM during the court case. And, of course, this man tried to say it wasn't rape because it was rough sex in a BDSM fashion. But the partner that was raped said, but I used the safe word, which is, you know, saying, no, you need to stop. And so the court, of course, recognized this as rape, but then continued and said that it's okay and that the government should consider legislative restrictions on BDSM. Oh, what's that? That sort of thing. You know, why are we telling consenting adults what they can and can't do? Right? Why are we viewing things in such a narrow range or in such a narrow way that we have to have people have sex the way we want them to have sex, you know? So I think that there's a lot to be said about that. Obviously, rape can happen within a BDSM setting, but just because it's BDSM does not mean rape is happening. You know, we need to appreciate the right of people to give consent as well as take away consent. We need to understand that when it comes to consent, you need to check in with your partner and see where they are and see how they're doing. Just saying, well, they said okay before we even got to the sexual activity isn't enough. You need to make sure your partner is still engaged and okay with what's going on. It's okay to change your mind during sex and say, I'm not comfortable with this particular act, or I'm not comfortable anymore, I would like to stop. That's okay. I think that a lot of people, particularly women, are not taught that that is okay, that you're not obligated to give somebody sex because, you know, you're dating or because they, you know, took you out to a really nice restaurant or because they bought you something. You're not obligated to have sex with them. You know, all of these things fall under the umbrella of talking about consent, and that very rarely happens, right? All we tell kids is just make sure you don't get pregnant before you graduate high school. Instead of talking about all these other things, you know? So, I don't know. What caller, where are you? What do you think? Listening? Thoughts? Ideas? Help me out here. I'm going to check the chat room.
Well, yeah, it's pretty much just like you said. Like, you mentioned that case. Like, I've read, like, several cases that have come up like that. And they've pretty much used, like, some 50 Shades of Grey defense.
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
yes, which is... Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that that is one of the things, too, to talk about as well, is what does consent look like in a BDSM relationship, or what does consent look like in various situations? Because a lot of people read 50 Shades of Grey, and they're like, oh, it's so sexy, and it's like BDSM, and it's so erotic, and it's like, no, actually, 50 Shades of shit, not just because it was poorly written, but because the actual sex acts that were described were often done without consent. You know, one of the things that should be part of a conversation about healthy sexuality is not only teaching people that it's okay to say no, but also teaching people that they need to respect boundaries, right? This is where we get into that situation where it's like, we focus on telling women not to get raped as opposed to telling men not to rape, you know, and I think that that is something that comes in line with this. And a lot of abusers will try to infiltrate BDSM situations and say, oh, well, but it's BDSM, so it's not the same thing. Absolutely not. There are still rules that apply. Safe words are used. The safe word is saying no. Contact and activity is supposed to stop when a person uses their safe word. There are still rules that are supposed to be applied. You know, just because it's BDSM doesn't mean that it can't be rape. And I think that that is a conversation that needs to be had and really reinforced with the BDSM community, because there are people who end up being coerced into engaging in sex acts they don't want, people who are raped, people who do things that they don't want to do because they're under the impression that they're not allowed to say no because it's BDSM. It doesn't matter if it's BDSM with a stranger, if it's someone you've been married to for 50 years, if it's, you know, someone you're engaging in a one-night stand with, you always have a right to say no and stop what you're doing if you're not comfortable with it. You know, and I think that that's something that we really need to reinforce as part of, you know, consent culture, I guess. Is that a thing, consent culture? Make it a thing. You know, and I think that that's one of the huge problems, is that we don't tell people it's okay to say no or it's okay not to have sex. You know, there's nothing wrong with that.
I think that was pretty much like the heart, or I don't know the heart, but that was like pretty much a lot of shamers and whatnot, and people who were saying that, you know, sex workers couldn't be raped were using that, like, I guess, false logic, especially after the James Dean rape thing was like revealed, and people were shaming Stoya and saying that, like, she couldn't be raped and sex workers couldn't be raped, and people were saying that James Dean's, like, BDSM, I guess, proclivity was, like, a justification for his actions or something.
Yeah, they tried that. For those of you, if anybody doesn't know, James Dean is a porn star, and he was dating a female porn star named Stoya, and Stoya came out and said that James Dean raped her. They did have a BDSM personal relationship off camera, and that he raped her even after she said no, and even after she used her safe word, and people were shaming her, saying, well, you know, you're not allowed to say no to him, or you should have known that he would like that, or, well, you're a porn star, your job is to have sex, so can you really ever tell anybody no? And just, like, as a side note to that, that is one of the arguments that just fucking, I fucking hate that argument that, well, you can't say no because you're a sex worker. And it's like, so if you're a surgeon, right, and you're at a dinner party, somebody can't just be like, hey, you, I need surgery on my hand right now, do surgery. If you have any other occupation in the world, people cannot just come up to you and expect you to give services for free on demand at that moment. That's not how it works. But because people don't respect sex work as actual work, there's the assumption that sex workers can't be raped. And then, of course, people like to make jokes and say, oh, if you rape a sex worker, is it really rape or is it just more like theft? The fact is, rape is forcing somebody to have sex without their consent. And sex workers are people, believe it or not. Like, we're fucking humans. And forcing a sex worker to have sex with you is rape. Okay? It's like, caught with the jokes about theft. Stop making jokes about robbery. Stop with the slut shaming and the stigmatizing and saying that, you know, you can't rape a sex worker. You can, because everybody has the right to say no. It doesn't matter what sex acts you've engaged in before. It doesn't matter how many times you've had sex with this particular person. It doesn't matter what your proclivities are. It doesn't matter how many times you've had sex before or who you've had sex with. You always have a right to say no. And when that no is ignored and a person forces a sex act on you anyway, that is rape. Right? It doesn't matter if it's a sex worker or a nun or a school teacher or a soccer mom or, you know, a man in prison. It doesn't fucking matter. Anybody can be a rape victim, and no means no, right? That's the thing we need to work on, no means no. And
there's also,
no means no, we all...
I was just going to say, like, we were... One thing, I was thinking about the sex education thing, like, and you were talking about rape. Like, I was just thinking about, like, not a lot of people, or maybe they do know, like, not a lot of people, like, really take the concept or, like, the reality of statutory rape seriously, especially, like, when it involves underage girls. Like, I find that a lot of underage girls are, like, molested or taken advantage of or, like, in relationships with substantially older men who are, like, while they're minors, like, they're like, slut-shamed more often than, like, the adult men who are preying upon them.
Yeah.
Like, I wish that sex educators would, like, get that point across.
Yes, I think that is definitely something to talk about. And I think that that's also, I think that a lot of that plays into misogyny, but I think that there's also a double standard there to talk about too, because notice when young male students, right, like high school students, are sexually coerced by female teachers, it's not seen as anything detrimental. But if a male student is coerced by a male teacher, then it's a problem. And no matter who a female student is coerced into having sex with, it's her fault, and she's often played off as like the Lolita type. You know, she was going after this grown man, but it's You know, first of all, I don't believe that the majority of the time it's like the female student going after the teacher without any sort of provocation.
But it's also this is where men show themselves to be liars. All right, all men know that rape culture exists and that men are the primary perpetuators of. All men know that men are primary perpetuators of coercion, of force, of emotional, psychological manipulation, and they all know this. And one of the and this is you just named one, and we're going to bounce back to it. But one of the first ones that you can always just point to is how, by their teen years, before they're even in their 20s, all boys know that they don't want to have a daughter because they know rape culture exists. They know that they don't like their assigned female biological family members hanging around any of the guys in the neighborhood because they know rape culture exists. And the reason why it's easy to see, like, 16-year-old boy and, like, 24-year-old teacher, and they're like, hey, thumbs up, guy, you know, because they know it. But if it's that boy and a man, even if the boy is, an out bisexual or gay boy, or if it's a girl and a man, like, they know that deep down, like, there's something creepy about that fucking guy because men know rape culture exists, right? And it is kind of a bit of a intellectually lazy platitude of a meme where they're like, homophobia is men being afraid that gay men will do to them what they do to women, but it's also it's men admitting that they know rape culture exists and that men are the primary problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I think that's one of the main things when it comes to rape is everybody, they act like it's not that bad, but yet why are men terrified to go to prison? Right, yeah. You know, which is also a whole other conversation is that, like, we generally don't talk about male rape victims because they are shamed from coming forward, but at the same time, drop the soap in prison has become, like, a standard cultural joke, and it's a rape joke. So, again, we're telling on ourselves, like, we know that that's a problem, we know that that's a thing, but we don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
We don't want to talk about it.
And I usually say a person's first name and whatnot, but just because the type of program it is, I'm just going to be saying a person, right? Like a person in one of the chat spaces said, thanks for mentioning asexuality. In my health and sex ed classes, we were taught that sex is necessary for a romantic relationship, but in reality, sexual and romantic relationships are not always linked. So you get this message that sex is normal and necessarily that makes asexual people feel like something is wrong with them. And continuing on in a folks, we tend to have several chat spaces open just to, so that we don't miss anybody. Another one of the homie locals said, I wish I could have talked to my daughter more about the variations. Now, I didn't know about them, gay, bi, yes, but none of the others. Hopefully, she at least knows she is accepted. On the birth control thing, I helped her set up her Kaiser account so she can see her doctor when she wants. She was shocked to know she had a right to privacy in matters of her health. And another one, where in the gosh darn flicking, there it is,
that's not a word.
Said they're getting shut down everywhere on top of that, talking about Planned Parenthoods, I think. They're getting shut down everywhere, and on top of that, what if the kid has limited access on ways to get there or other outside influences preventing them from reaching out? Well, I believe that would be called an undue burden, and with Antonin Scalia doing the most activism thing he could have ever done in his life recently.
Why would you mean dying? Yes.
If there's a 4-4 split, then it's going to get kicked down to the original decision by a lower court, which would be not good. So we have to hope that old weirdo Roberts, Kennedy. Kennedy's the swing vote. You have to hope that old weirdo Kennedy steps to the left on this one, and we can undo a whole bunch of this bullshit that's been kicked in place since the Tea Party did their Martha fracking thing.
Yes.
And let's see.
Yeah. And, yeah. You know, I just want to point out one thing, too, with, like, the asexuality, is that, like, that is one of the biggest, bullshit ideas ever, is that you have to have sex. Because if you look from, like, a patriarchal point of view, the idea, right, like, what's the overwhelming idea, right, is that men are players and they're just out having sex, but then they meet that one good woman who holds them down and they become faithful and they get married and the woman is in love with him because they have sex. So that is the narrative, but that is an incredibly unhealthy narrative, right? Because, like, let's look, this is, like, the basic of so many romantic comedies, but let's look at what that teaches real quick, right? So that teaches that, one, it's not normal for women to be promiscuous, which, like, what the fuck is promiscuous anyway? Probably somebody who's just getting laid more than you. Number two, it's completely normal for men to be promiscuous, right? So men can do it, but women can't, which is weird because then who are the men having sex with? Because also remember, in this society, homosexuality is bad. So there's that. And then the notion that if you love him the right way, he can become dedicated to you. But you might have to put up a lot of abusive bullshit to get that man to love you, right? But then the way you bond with him is having sex. Okay, so what about all the other things that are in a relationship, right? So, like, the way that person emotionally supports you, the way that you can talk to your partner at 2:00 in the morning when you're upset about something, the way that you can, your partner holds your hand, or the way your partner looks at you without it being a sexual context. All those things get diminished because the focus is on having sex. You can still have those things without having sex with the person, and you can be fulfilled without having sex with the person because you have a partner who connects with you at a mental and emotional level without necessarily being physically intimate with you. And I think that that's also led to a lot of difficulty, particularly with women and femme-identified people, because there's the assumption that if you're having sex, you must love that person. Like, you know, you might not love a person, you just want to have sex with them. Or you might love a person and you don't want to have sex with them. Like, in a way, that's okay. But that conversation rarely happens because the assumption is you meet the person, you fall in love with them, you have sex, it's great sex every single time, even though there's no focus on the clit, but yet somehow you have an orgasm every time you have sex, and then you get married and have babies because that's what women do. Right, and there's very rarely a deviation from that set path of gender roles, and that's something that we need to address too, because I fucking hate gender roles. I fucking do, man.
All right, gender roles. Before I dig into it, but right before that, gosh diddly darn it. All
free
right,
thought
so.
Conversation.
In this free thought conversation episode of The Wine Cellar, just taking a look at the board, an ass load of people are tuning in. So if you tuned in late after the program already started, we are 2 minutes past the first hour, 62 minutes into the program. If you missed the beginning of the program, there was a rundown of headlines, and then Feeny Loco began to launch into expanded sex education in The Wine Cellar. If you missed the beginning, anywhere that you can download a podcast, you just go to your iTunes, your Stitcher Radio, your Podkicker, your Last FM, your TuneIn Radio, any gosh darn way you get a podcast, go to Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, click subscribe, download the fuck out of it. All right. Mm. All right. Gender roles. So that's like little bread rolls that are shaped like people but on gender binary. So they got the anatomical, that's gender roles. You put butter on those motherfuckers.
I actually prefer pretzel rolls myself. You should probably know that about me.
Right.
No, gender roles, right? So this is that shit that happens when you operate on a gender binary, which, like, thanks, fucking Europeans. Right, so we have this overall assumption that, like, man equals penis, woman equals vagina, men are supposed to be incredibly sexually active and promiscuous. So, like, you know, as difficult as it is for, you know, asexuality to be talked about, like, there's no way men can be asexual. Men have to be hypersexual. Like, that's the rule. It's like a fucking rule somewhere set in stone. Women are supposed to be less sexually active because it's slutty to be too sexually active, and that's bad, and you're supposed to get married and have babies, right? And these are the things that we talk about when we have gender roles. But then there's this assumption that, like, sex operates on the same shitty-ass gender binary. So it's about the focus on the man and the penis, right? Because, again, with this binary, we assume all men have penises, all women have vaginas, and that sex is about making a man feel good and stroking a man's ego and hopefully procreation, right? Like, that's the ultimate end goal, is procreation. Probably the reason that so many Republicans hate Planned Parenthood. But where does that leave people who want to enjoy having sex, right? You know, like, there is very, very literal, very little conversation about how to enjoy sex with people who have vaginas, right? Like, how many people know that the clitoris is predominantly internal and larger than a penis? Like, no, it keeps growing. Like, how many people know these things, right? Can you imagine an alternative history written where the focus is on sex and on men, but instead of talking about, like, the penis in its entirety, we only talk about the tip of the penis? Like, that's weird, right? What about all the other genitals? What about the different erogenous zones? But yet that's how we determine it's okay to treat women, right? We don't talk about how it's okay for a woman to have an orgasm. We don't talk about how to make sure a female partner has an orgasm. We don't talk about how to make sure that your partner, no matter their gender or no matter what genitals they have, has an orgasm and enjoys themselves. Like, how do we talk about, you know, and it's such a contradiction, because if you look at the way society portrays sex, it's this, you know, like, this love it, you're making love, and it's this, like, sweet romantic thing between two people, and women are only supposed to have sex with men if you really love them, but yet at the same time, we never focus on women having orgasms. Fucking weird, right? But that's what we do, and it's really disturbing to me that the emphasis is on the penis and ejaculation as opposed to thinking about what women want or what non-male people want when they're engaging in sex acts. But that's that patriarchy shit that has inserted itself into our bedrooms and into our concepts of what healthy sex looks like. And I think that that has led to the idea that female sexuality in particular is shameful. You know, again, women aren't supposed to masturbate. Women aren't supposed to enjoy themselves. Women aren't supposed to be promiscuous. And so that's also led to a very difficult time for women who fall outside of this because they are slut-shamed, right? So especially when you talk about, like, sex workers, you know, it's the assumption that sex workers are bad people because they have sex on a regular basis or they engage in sexual acts on a regular basis. And that's not what normal women or quote-unquote good women do. You know, women who are asexual are considered to be abnormal because they're not engaging in sex on a regular basis with a male partner, because that's what women are supposed to do. Women who engage in lesbian relationships are considered to be invalid because that's not what women are supposed to do. Everything about women's sexuality is determined by a male penis, which, when you think about it, is really fucked up. Aside from genitals, aside from gender roles, aside from, you know, bullshit, archaic patriarchal stereotypes, what if women just want to enjoy themselves when they're having sex? Like, can that just be a thing? Can we make that a thing? You know, and That's also something that we very, very rarely talk about, you know, when it comes to our relationships. And it's gotten to a point where men are considered to be weak if they focus on pleasing a female partner. Women are considered damaged if they're asexual or if they're lesbian or if they don't want to engage in sex every time a male partner wants them to engage in sex. We have gotten to a point where there is no conversation about people who operate outside of a gender binary, which, please remember, a gender binary, right, so it's only man, only woman, and it's based on your genitals, is a very European concept. A lot of cultures outside of Europe before colonization had multiple genders, not just two. You could be perceived to be a woman or be perceived to be a third gender person regardless of your genitals, or even a fourth gender person regardless of your genitals. You know, so this idea of a gender binary is just not, it is really weird to me. I don't get it, but people want to live and die by that. And I think that that makes it difficult, right? Because how can you enjoy intimate aspects of yourself, such as your sexuality, when you're not even allowed to identify where you're at with gender? You know, I think that that is a huge fucking problem. I think that it's a huge problem that we can't talk about these things without invoking patriarchal religion or tradition or, you know, these weird conservative-ass ideas of, like, this is what men do, this is what women do, there's nothing else to talk about. Like, this is just what it is, you know. And it's easy to see from that point of view why it's such a hobby for us to slut-shame women, or why we hate trans women, or why we want to deny access to reproductive health, right? Because a lot of it is based on subjugation of women. A lot of it is based on bigotry. A lot of it is based on prejudice. And that's something that very rarely gets discussed, you know, in a larger context, in a larger frame. And it opens up an entirely new world of possibilities of, like, what if people who have vaginas were allowed to enjoy sex and consent to sex on their own terms and consent to sex with who they want to consent to sex with, not who they're obligated to be with. You know, and suddenly there's this whole other world of opportunity and freedom, right? And I think that freedom is why it's not something that's allowed, that freedom is why we don't want it to be part of sex ed, because that's a little bit too damaging to the status quo, you know, my opinion. So, yeah, I think that has a lot to do with it, and I think that it's really important to focus on consent. I really think it's important to focus on the biology and the anatomy of this is what makes a person with this type of genitals feel good. I think it's important to recognize the differences of, you know, it's okay to be attracted to people with, you know, multiple gender presentations, right? So you can be pansexual, attracted to everybody. You can be bisexual. You can be gay. You can be straight. You know, you can be asexual. You know, and even under those categories, there's different levels too, right? Like, you can be asexual and not have any interest in sex and live completely celibate, but you can also be asexual and be in a romantic relationship with a person and have sex, consensually, hopefully, you know, but that's an option. You know, there's all these options. There's so many ways to love yourself, to sexually pleasure yourself, to sexually pleasure a partner, to love a partner, to be in a relationship that go outside this male, female, get married, have babies, binary sort of, you know, bullshit. And we very, very rarely talk about that freedom. And yeah, it makes me sad. It does. It makes me sad. I don't know.
Yeah.
Where are we at here?
I was just going to say, like, thinking of sex ed when I was in school, too, like, it, like, patriarchy, it doesn't just dictate how you should, like, love someone. It dictates, like, how you should look as well, like, because I remember even back in sex education, they were talking about, like,
grooming, like, your genitals and, like, your body. And they were talking about how body hair and everything was either, like, unsightly or somehow unhygienic. And, but, mm-hmm. like, for women. But for guys, it was, like, totally cool.
Yes.
Oh, your audio dropped when you said, for guys, it was, like, totally...
I said it was, like, totally cool for guys. Like, the hair for men is seen as, like, a sign of their adulthood or masculinity or
mm-hmm.
something. And when they get hair, they're, like, proud and they show it off and everything. But, like, if a woman
mm-hmm.
has hair, doesn't shave, she's, like, shamed or seen as, like, unhygienic or unattractive
mm-hmm.
or something.
Definitely. Definitely. And I think that that's one of those things that, you know, it just goes to those double standards of, you know, we're not supposed to be natural. I think that one of the biggest issues with patriarchy is that, you know, and I mean, obviously there's the major things, right? We have misogyny. We have, like, oh, you know, women shouldn't be in male workplaces and women can't lead and, like, that kind of shit. You know, women are natural caregivers. But I think that there's also... chronic inherent shamefulness about bodies, right? So, like, you are expected to, you know, Brazilian wax and shave and no hair and sex on demand and all these other things, but it's irrelevant if that's how you want to be, you know? Like, maybe I just want my pussy to be like a normal pussy, right? Like, just as is. But you're not allowed to say that. Like, that is a very, very taboo thing to say that, you know what, I'm not going to douche. I'm not going to wax. I'm just going to, you know, let my body be the way my body wants to be. But, again, that is exercising autonomy. That is exercising freedom. And that is something that is absolutely not allowed from a patriarchal point of view. Women are not allowed to have autonomy over their bodies. And that starts at a very early age. Like, the minute... you know, you hit puberty, you are no longer entitled to freedom over your body. You need to, you know, cater to the whims of what society says about you. And that is, you know, the assumption that you always have to, you know, groom a certain way. That is the assumption that you have to smell a certain way. That is the assumption you have to behave a certain way. That is the assumption that a grown-ass man perving on you when you're 13 is going to be perceived as your fault because you're Jezebel or Lolita. It is perceived that even when you're tired and you've spent all day up, you know, with your kids, but your husband comes home and want to have sex, you have to have sex with him because that's an obligation. That is the assumption that being a lesbian is wrong. That is the assumption that dating a trans woman somehow doesn't count as a lesbian relationship. You know, that is the assumption that if you're asexual, people are just going to call you frigid. All these things are based on control of sexuality, particularly of non-male people. And it, you know, it breaks my heart, honestly. It's just so sad because there's so many people who live some miserable-ass lives because it never occurred to them they could be free and they could be happy, you know? And that's just one of the saddest things to me. And I think that intentional and willful refusal to give education and resources is a part of that. You know, like, how many people who have a uterus know that they can only ovulate, like, 3 or 4 days a month and be able to determine what 3 or 4 days a month those are? You know, how many people can talk about what it takes for them to reach orgasm? How many non-male people can talk about what makes good sex? Right, we don't talk about these things, you know, and that makes me incredibly, incredibly sad.
Oh, and just so you know, I shared the link to this episode in Relationship Talk 2.0.
You said you should link to this episode, is that what you said?
Mm-mm. I did share the link to this episode in Relationship Talk 2.0. So I think that might be where some of the clicks are coming from.
Fucking like,
yeah, some
man.
Folks might be tuning in from there. I mean, they haven't tuned out.
which is actually really interesting to me. I would think that that would be one of the groups that people would tune out from pretty.
Well, no. Well, the thing is, there's about 19,000 members.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, some of those folks might be like, oh, well, this is all right. This is some all right shitty.
All right. It's not that bad. It's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. Although, you know, I can't lie. We are actually promoting the gay agenda.
Oh. Yeah, well, let's see. All right, so I think you hit the shit. I think you tackled the stuff. Maybe some of the things, and this is the third time that we've done expanded sex education in the wine cellar. And I mean, a fourth time will come along probably in 2017, because 2016 is just a big-ass year. Like, again, thanks to the folks that went to Patreon.com and went to Wine Cellar Entertainment, where you can see the large image, Support the Squad, and the smaller image, Wine Cellar News, where it says Wine Cellar Entertainment is creating podcasts, music, and videos, and think pieces. Right, and you can go and sign up for what you can, $5 a month or more. And if you got to get into Facebook, I know there's at least two people who are signed up at the Wine Cellar Patreon for $5 or more a month, and they're not on the Facebooks. And in a Facebook closed group is where we put the exclusive content for people that sign up for $5 a month or more. So if you're like one of the homies from the Twitter, you know, throw together some fuck off email and make a Facebook account so we can, you know, and hit me up and we can get you in there. Like we just did our first episode on a Sunday and got that uploaded of where what we do is we do a little Daria hangout because we're 90s kids and we like Daria, you know, so we do a Daria hangout and you can come hang out with us in that. And it's archived and posted in there in exclusive content. We have ghost abortions. We have penis factuals. We got some fun stuff in the exclusive content.
Penis factuals. That was a good one. As was ghost abortions. That was a fucking great-ass episode.
Yeah, and that's what we tend to do hanging out on Sunday is we do some exclusive content, get the shit uploaded, bingity-bing-boom-bing-bang-bang-blam. All right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so there's that, and then also one of the folks, Feeny Loco. Did you get the homie Emily Loco in there?
I believe that I did. Yeah.
Yeah, because she's hit up the PayPal. She's not on the Patreon, but she hit up the PayPal so many times that like she's essentially paid for a year of of exclusive content. So just let's just get her in there. All right. And that'll be the gosh darn deal. And the next edition of hashtag Talk to Your Homeboys, that will actually be what's wrong? What? That will be the next Talk to Your Homeboys, that will be gender roles. The first Talk to Your Homeboys was just general. Like, let's just get the idea up and or running. And then I would like to go to trans misogyny after gender roles and see where we go from there with the Talk to Your Homeboys deal.
Yeah.
All right. So that's that Wine Cellar shit. And Fallen Loco, you're still on the line. FallenKitty.com. Did you update it so I can buy your new book?
Yeah, all the links are updated, and I added a new post. And I also have like a poem up. One of my friends who's like he has like a socialist kind of political party campaign going on, Mimi Solstick and Alice Walker. Yeah, they posted one of my poems on their page, and that's also contained on the latest post on my website, so that should be interesting.
All right, so Endeavors and Endgames, I think that's the one I'm looking at right here.
Yeah.
All right, Endeavors and Endgames. All right, so that will need to be purchased tomorrow morning when I get my arse up before I go down to the workplace and capitalism. All right, so that's the gosh darn thing.
Yay,
there.
Capitalism.
And I mean, speaking on this being expanded sex education, if Feeny Loco mentioned BDSM in here, go to fallenkitty.com, buy some of those goddamn books. All right, like this is a independent black woman writing her books. All right,
yeah.
So fucking buy them. All right, it's a real 90s kid. I think she was born in the 90s. You know, like, so, yeah, support a 90s kid writing the hell out of some books independently. All right? Niggas talk about supporting black business. Bam, that's a black business right there. All right? So I'm going to take these black dollars from the wine cellar and then turn them into black dollars with FallenKitty.com. And then FallenKitty.com is going to go and go down to a black-owned business somewhere and then spend those dollars there. And then the black dollars will be black as long as possible before they rotate back out into the general economy. All right?
Yes, which I do have to say, I was fortunate enough to be a beta reader for one of the books, and it was a fantastic book. So I strongly recommend Fallen's book, not just because black-owned business and not just because I support black women, but because I've actually read her shit, and it's good. So please check it out.
Yeah.
And
speaking
of black dollars, like, I'm not going to spend the money and give it to someone who wants to make a school and doesn't provide any details about where
Omar, what?
That's just, I'm not going to do that. Like, I've seen people talk about how they're supporting that, and I'm just not going to do it.
Man.
Yeah, so he's
been working on that school since fucking niggas was wearing cross colors. Like, yeah.
Yeah, speaking of Omar, because I feel I need to point this out every time, it's like, please do not support Omar under the guise of supporting pro-blackness. Like, this nigga says that single black moms cause people to be gay, which is another thing, right, that I mentioned. Being gay is not something that somebody fucking makes you. Like, you are gay or you're not gay or you're bi or you're pan. But people do not make you fucking gay. Omar says that black single moms make children gay, and he has a serious issue and thinks that homosexuality is a mental illness. Like, fuck Omar. Like, that's not pro-black. If you're anti-gay, you're not fucking pro-black. All right? You're not.
Yeah. And that pseudoscience doesn't stop with him, right? Gusty Renegade gets it from Neely Fuller, where they think that gay is something that Europeans taught African to be, and that also includes the recently dead Francis Welsing was also on that pseudoscience, just simply just not real, just plain not real. And Francis Welsing also she called respectability politics, and this is documented on one of the last episodes of The Cows that she was on with Gusty Renegade. Immaculate behavior. It's like, no, nigga, respectability politics won't save your ass, nigga. Like, bullshit. All right. But that's not this. All right. So, and anybody that tuned in too late, remember, go to Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, anywhere that you get a podcast. iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher Radio, Podkicker, Last.fm. Go in there, subscribe, download the fuck out of it, and then be like, this, are pretty good, you know. All right, and since we went into shade mode towards the end, let's end on shade.
William said he won't attend my wedding unless I crip walk into my reception.
We might as well hop out the pulpit and let the choir preach it. Your argument would have teeth if you would quit fighting Phoenix. Try to be Finn, we can leave them slayed. Three languages, English, tea, and shade. Wine cellar to the bone gristle. We throw missiles on the warpath to make your soul sizzle. And I attack them with the fat flow. I make it dance like Hillary to get the black vote. I'm a super predator about the hilltop, so I ain't paying attention until she does the crip walk. She can study it on Lokestopedia. For now, I gotta deal with the social media. Different day, but the same turd. Corny motherfuckers wanna drag a nigga like James Byrd. With your clickbait schemes and plans. With niggas like you, who needs the Klan?
Something about you was seeming fade.
I speak three languages, English, tea, and shade.
Coming at me with your weak brigade.
I speak three languages, English, tea, and shade.
And I don't care what your people say.
I speak three languages, English, tea, and shade.
So memorize it and repeat the phrase.
I speak three languages, English, tea, and shade.
If you're more of a reader than a listener, you can peep our written content at socialdissonance.wordpress.com.